This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 228 of the Countdown Podcast. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about stuff that could have been, like Tiffany. My name's Wayne.
Do you remember that song? Do you remember she did a song called Could Have Been? It was right after Think I'm Alone Now.
I just assumed you meant her entire career Could Have Been after I Think You're Alone Now. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We talk about movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And as Wayne has said, today is a bit of a spec show.
Definitely.
No
like
films.
Like an Elseworlds show.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What if these films that never got made...
Got made.
Actually got made, and we think they would have been awesome. In other words, the top 10 films that never got made. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. I think we'll call it that. Yeah, we'll call it that.
That is the topic for today's consideration. And we have a whole bunch of films which therefore no one's obviously ever seen, but which we think on paper would have been awesome. And how close did they get to being made? What tripped them up along the way?
Yeah.
All that stuff I'm talking about on my list as well.
Damn right. And some of these ones on my list, it's like, if that got made, it would probably be bizarrely weird, but I do want to see it.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, pretty good. Who knows?
Yeah, one or two of those on mine too. Mostly they're just films which I was salivating at the prospect of, and then was a little bit to a lot gutted when they were unannounced / disappeared into development hell.
Fair enough. Good stuff.
All right. Well, we've got some bits and pieces we do on the admin part of the show to kick things off. And so let's start with that. Let's start with a couple of iTunes reviews. We haven't had a bunch for a while. So these come from the States. And, you know, if you would like to leave... We're part of the new film review category on iTunes, which means we're a little bit more visible than we have been in the past. And it's a good time to get some reviews and prop us up there. Make sure we stay in those listings.
That'll be cool, guys.
Please do consider, if you haven't already, leaving us a review. It'd be awesome. Here's one from ODPH, I think it's 607. Check this show out, 5 stars. Great podcast to check out. The hosts keep it very entertaining from start to finish. Take a listen. Thank you for that.
Very kind. Thanks, man.
Then one that's probably a little bit more considered, and not to knock that first one, which is fantastic. Great. Absolutely. To get 5 stars. Here's a 4-star review.
4 stars.
Called Almost There from Hacks and Joffman. And it says, I like this show a lot more if they didn't intentionally try to anger one another in order to force comedy.
Whoa.
We can respond to them. Their quieter moments are actually some of the best since you actually get a discussion on what they feel is right and wrong with a film.
Okay. Now, taking that.
Do we intentionally... Get each other's goat?
I feel like you like to fuck on me. But I don't believe you're forcing it. You're just seeing an opportunity and like, oh, this will fuck him. And that happens. I feel like I'm the peacekeeper in this whole show.
That is fascinating. The man who thinks The Saint is the most rewatchable film of all time.
I really think that, damn it. Yeah, this shit is all real, but it's okay. Thanks for the stand
resolute, motherfucker. No, I'm very happy with the 4-star review. Thank you very much, Haxon.
Yeah, we do appreciate the feedback. And look, for the record, you know, I think most podcasters probably amp each other up a little bit in this type of format.
Well, it's a performance, I guess.
But what you hear is what you generally get between Wayne and I. We will disagree about things. And
let me say, Paul cuts out most of the shit I say as well.
I cut out the stuff that would get us banned from various platforms. Yes.
Yo, I think I could swing it, man. I could swing it.
Sure. Well, on from that critical review to another. From this one from the Podbean app. You can leave comments on the Podbean app. And so that's what one of our listeners has been kind enough to do. And this is someone who's jumped on the board recently. This is from Mary896. Recently discovered this pod, binging loads of eps. I may not always agree, maybe have some different opinions, but it's fun. That laugh. Not referring to mine. There you go. One quibble. I'm hearing an awful lot of old school non-PC quips. You know, whenever something strikes you as emotional or so-called weak, you're referred to as a bitch. Crap like that.
She's talking about me.
I know you are dudes and that's just the way you talk, but remember you've got a lot of vaginas out here listening. By the way, my husband has cried more in 25 years of marriage than I ever have. I hate chick flicks and I love violent action films and car chases. Plus, I swear more than anyone else on the planet, hands down. Just wanted you guys to know you're not giving chicks their just due. Times have changed and Valleys of the Dolls is crusty history.
Fair enough. First of all, sounds like a girl after my own heart. Absolutely. Cussing?
You're cussing, yes, for sure. Right,
that's and your everything thing. Else, it's all cool. Totally on board with that stuff. I know I'm a little bit of a dinosaur. I know.
And
I know that too.
Whether I'm fine with it or not, I'm still deciding. But I totally appreciate that kind of stuff. So thank you very much.
No, it's good to get that feedback. And we take all that kind of stuff on board. And we do try. And we're, it might not sound like it, but we're constantly refining and working on aspects of the show. So
Paul's constantly editing is, what's is what he's saying.
Look, I'm sure there's moments where I've said stupid shit too. Man, so I do apologize for that. Speaking of, I did say some stupid shit in a recent episode.
Like what?
While back, we had the movie watching challenge between Hendo and I from the IMDb Journey podcast.
Ah, yes.
And I may have mistakenly given people the impression that instead of working, I sat at work watching movies all day long. That is true of one day a week. And that's the one day a week I work in private practice. And it was brought to my attention.
So it's your business?
Yeah, my business.
You're not slacking off at all because it's your business.
Yeah, yeah. So I look, as long story short, we have 5 clients a day is what our professional body recommends.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's in private shrink, practice, I do 7 to 8 clients a day, and I work a 12-hour day to do the rest of it. But when people aren't there and I can't see 12 in a row because it kills you, I did 11 in a row once and it almost did kill me.
Sure.
That was many years ago before I had children. Mm-hmm. Child. So I just wanted to clarify that in my substantive role, that wasn't taking place, just in
it sounds as
private practice.
It sounds as though this is something Paul needs to clear up.
Yes. So anyway, I wanted that on the record, so there it is.
Everyone, Paul's very fine at work.
That's very kind of you to say very fine.
Very fine at work.
And look, it's been a week of controversy because last week on the show, Top 10 Last 10, I reviewed Danger Close, The Battle of Long Tan, the new Aussie war film, which dropped last week in Australia. I think it's due to come out around the rest of the world in due course. Then I got this one over on Twitter, a response from Martin Walsh.
Who is?
A producer on the film.
What?
Unfair statement about our Danger Close locations. Battle took place in Vietnam rubber plantations, not typical jungle rice paddies. Our location almost identical. And then he said,
oh shit.
Public don't agree with your desire that both sides be told. We wanted to tell Anzac story. That's what the public want.
You got fucking beat down.
Yeah. Look, I'm prepared to cop the first one. All right, if that's the case, if that's the way it looked, I've not been to Vietnam. I haven't done my fact checking there. Fair enough. However, I do wish now to point out an article in the New York Times.
Okay.
Was pointed out, posted by one of our listeners in our Facebook listening community, which literally quotes, reviews of Danger Close so far have been mixed. Some are welcome a film about Australia's involvement in the Vietnam War, even as they criticise the scant attention paid to the Vietnamese and the hefty toll the battle took on their numbers.
So you're saying that not only you had that opinion?
Yeah. In other words, and also, I am the public.
Yeah. 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 I'm actually just more impressed that a review got to this guy.
So I respectfully agree that and really appreciative of Martin taking the time to listen.
Totally.
At the same time, I do believe that that second criticism in particular is a valid one, as now been pointed out by others. And indeed, I've read a lot of reviews that have said something similar.
Okay.
But it is, I also, and I wanted Martin to be sure of this, I mentioned in the reply tweet, I had a lot of positive things to say about that movie. I gave it 3.5 stars, which if you're familiar with the show, you know is a good score from moi.
Yeah. And, so he didn't get the Paul like adjustment shit that he, that's
and
the point.
And recommended it. I said, as far as war films go, particularly those out of Australia, this is a gold star version thereof.
And Paul doesn't recommend shit, everyone. So he's actually on board.
There we
wow,
go.
This is some like political shit going on here.
It's about as serious as the show gets.
No shit.
To open
can we
it
make
up
some dick jokes now, please?
Sure.
All right.
Well, we can do that on the other side of this music cue as we get into the top 10 films that never got made. Is the topic for this week's countdown.
Good one.
Got to use the mixer at whatever point that I can in proceedings. Look, I guess the criteria is very, very straightforward. It is literally a case of it's categorical. It's in or it's not. If it got made, it ain't. It ain't. If it didn't get made, but it was strongly rumored / almost got to production, it is.
Yeah. And in fact, this is a research assignment, this thing here. Because you're looking around, it's like, what happened with this thing? And it's actually kind of interesting because you think, oh, I really liked that. What did actually happen? Boom. So that's up. Why don't you start, Paul?
All right, I will start, although I've just realised one thing I did forget to do at the top of the show was announce the results of last week's, not top 10, last 10, but before that, the top 10 Rebel films.
Okay, go ahead and bounce it on me now.
So I won the vote, 45 votes well to done. 29, hurrah.
Holy shit, that was a lot
of
votes. Kicking.
And I think it was a lot of votes because this week, because there was 2 weeks between voting, I put the lists in the, so everyone could just make it
maybe
a judgment.
Maybe we should just do that.
Yeah, I know. It's just another thing for me to have to do.
No, well, I'll we'll work something out.
Yeah, okay. my time on this podcast is probably starting to max out. So.
Oh, no shit, man.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, thank you to everyone for that win. Solid, but a lot of votes for you too. 45-29 might be the highest number of votes we've ever got. 74, pretty nice. Close in the listener community. So yeah, that's the only place to vote. Link's in the show notes. Get on board there so you can vote each in, week in and week out, who has the better list.
Join up. It's fun in there.
Which we have a year-long competition, which I now lead 12-8 with one draw.
Boom.
That said, this week, I don't think we should compare lists. Unless you want to.
It's all speculative.
Yeah. None of these films got made. It's very hard to say that's a better choice and this is a better choice. Yeah. And it will just come down to pure, I don't know, conjecture.
Exactly. It's just how much can you like it.
Okay. All right. Well, my number 10 then is a film which I, to be honest, only heard about 18 months ago, and I can't remember why I stumbled across it. It got made into a game, but it didn't get made into a film as it was intentionally going to be, and it was a sequel. It was a sequel to Hard Boiled, John Woo's Hard Boiled.
Oh, yeah.
And the game's called Stranglehold.
Yeah,
the film.
Yes, and I remember looking at the game going, this is awesome, I got to get it, and then I never got it.
Yeah, I think it was like 2008, somewhere around there. That's when that was sort of 15 years almost after the fact.
So this is the Chow Yun-Fat character.
Sorry, I think what you meant to say there was international action star
Chow Yun-Fat.
Yes, he was going to be in again as Tequila Yuen and reprising his role. No word whether Tony Leung would have made the cut as the undercover triad dude who disappeared.
Is it just a continuation of the story? Did you?
Yeah, well, I didn't really get too much into the details.
You have to play the game.
I haven't played the game,
yeah.
And I have no intention of playing the game.
No.
I just want my 90 to 120 minutes worth of action of Chow Yun-Fat jumping around and shooting and the John Woo-style bullet ballet that goes on.
There's no way we're shooting a Chow Yun-Fat John Woo these days with the same action. Am I right? He's pretty, he's up there.
He wouldn't be sprightly anymore.
No. But it would be kind of cool.
No, but you could always have someone else.
Some young guy. Yeah. He's training.
It could be a prequel.
Prequel.
Yeah, it could be his son. I mean, could do whatever they want to do.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Maybe John Woo's not up for it.
I don't think John Woo is up for it, though. It said I saw something last year that he made, which was sort of, it was trying to ape his style. His own style, he's trying to redo it in the modern day, and it just comes across as wrong.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Is he going to De Palma? I hope he doesn't De Palma.
He's pretty close, I reckon.
Okay, this looks so good. All right.
So that's my number 10, Stranglehold.
Stranglehold, nice one. My number 10 is a movie that I just found out about as a result of researching this topic, and I think someone in the listener community, David, I'm not sure.
David Powell?
Yeah, mentioned it. It's Gladiator 2.
Yes, on my list.
Is it on your list?
So this is a little bit.
Please.
I'll see if I can channel it to Hans Zimmer, Gladiator here. No.
Okay. So obviously Paul's a big fan of this one.
The concept is David Powell blew my mind. I'm like, I'm going to do some research on this.
I actually had it on my list and then I saw him talking about it. It's basically, this one would have been the most weirdest mainstream sequels ever made because even though Maximus in Gladiator died the movie, this was not going to be a prequel. It was going to be a sequel. And written by Nick Cave. He of the Bad Seeds. Now
and
listen.
And the writer of The Proposition.
Now, The Proposition was a great movie. Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed his work in the past. I do think he's a bit of a wanker, though. So, I'm just, what are you going to do? But, God.
Good. Next week, we're getting a fucking tweet from Nick Cave.
I guarantee you he won't give a shit. But this movie, to get around that, Nick Cave writes a script where the gladiator is reincarnated and is basically appears at various periods in history all the way back to Jesus' time where he goes and has to kill Jesus.
Well, apparently, according to whatever I read, the first task was that he was reincarnated and the gods wanted him to kill Jesus because they were jealous of his popularity.
Yes, that's right. So he had to go back in time and kill Jesus Christ and a movie was going to be called Christ Killer.
Lol.
So...
And even Cave apparently knew it wasn't going to work, right?
He did say that, but then I'm like, well, then...
Why
did someone pay you to write this? Because that person just wasted their money. In this case, it was Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Mark Maron interviewed Nick Cave at some point, and during that conversation, this came up. And he said, basically, I knew this was a popcorn dropper.
Yeah.
So this is so out there that people would drop their popcorn rather than eating it, and therefore it's not going to be made. So again, it raises the question
Hence
of why.
Hence my wanker term. Yeah. Okay, don't do that shit. Or do it for yourself, but don't be all like getting paid for it or whatever. I don't know what the image was.
It apparently also featured a 20-minute fight scene in which a victorious Maximus realizes he's killed his son.
Oh, what? I mean, you say it like this, and you know who knows how it's going to be in the actual script, but this is purely a circle jerk, man. So,
but how fascinating would it have been? How intriguing.
Having said that, I wouldn't at least read the script just to see how he would have tried it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's out there. Some of these ones are out there, the scripts that didn't get made. So if you're at all interested, do a bit of a Google search and see what you can find.
Absolutely.
My number 9 is pretty basic. It's pretty straightforward. I don't reckon I have any arguments at all. It's True Lies 2.
Yeah, True Lies 2. Now, what was the score with that?
So basically, it was going to happen.
Yep.
Titanic took longer than James Cameron wanted to get to make. But then, of course, it hit gangbusters and at that stage was the most successful film of all time. At least the most took the most revenue. And effectively, James Cameron no longer had to do a sequel to anything. He could do whatever he wanted. Avatar.
Yes,
he moved on to start on Avatar. And then September 11 happened.
Yes.
And that was the end of it.
That is the end
of it. Arnie was on board. Jamie Lee Curtis was on board. It was going to happen up until that fateful day. And James Cameron basically going, nah, fuck you. I want to do movies about blue-skinned creatures.
In his defense, can you imagine trying to play terrorists as comedically, like now?
No. After that, I understand.
Yeah, no way.
But before then, had James Cameron not...
Yeah, yeah. You know, oh, look, we love True Lies. Who knows if he wouldn't have screwed it? Oh, that's James Cameron, I suppose. Oh, well.
Well, yeah, we'll see with Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar 200.
If it ever damn well comes out. All right, that's my 9.
Okay, my number 9, everyone. This is an interesting story from our youth. Paul may not remember this, but I remember it like it was yesterday. Here's how I found out that Lady Di was killed. Paul and I were chatting on the phone because there was no internet or messaging back then. Landline, I believe.
Was it not 1997?
Yeah, it was way back in the day, right? And Paul was angry when he called me.
I do remember this.
He went, fucking Lady died, and they put off the fucking footy or something, right? Because he wanted to watch football.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait, what happened? Lady Di fucking died. I'm like, are you kidding? This was the hugest, most horrible news I'd ever. I was like, oh my God, surely, exactly. I loved Lady Di. She was the best royal ever. And like, I was shattered, as was the rest of the world. But Paul was just pissed about the footy.
I was shattered as well.
Fuck off.
My team was fucking winning.
Fuck off. Not an asshole. Anyway, that has to do with my number 9 choice. Is a movie called Unlawful Killing.
Ooh.
Now get this, it's directed and presented by Keith Allen. Well, it was basically financed by Mohammed Al-Fayed, okay?
Is that her lover?
No, her lover's dad, Dodie's dad, okay, yep. Right? Who's a rich motherfucker, right?
Oh, because he died, didn't he?
They both died in that thing. And the documentary basically is investigating the murder, they call it, of Princess Diana and Dodie Fayed. It's like, this is a very conspiracist theory.
Like it was
wet dream.
Organized by...
He essentially says, he claims like this massive conspiracy and... conspiracy and compares Prince Philip to Fred West and all this like weird shit that he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the UK censors demanded 87 cuts before it could be shown. Same with the US. They just it was this
so it actually got made.
It got made okay. And was not released.
Never released.
So I think that's still not actually made. It wasn't actually.
Oh, if it didn't get released.
Yeah, didn't get released. So I have read rumors that you can actually find this online if you look hard. I would actually love to see their take on it, because to me, the whole thing was very goddamn convenient. Ooh. She was causing trouble, they were over there, everyone's a bunch of assholes, people kill people sometimes. The driver was like 1,000, like was mega wasted and all sorts of shit. I don't know. It seemed weird, man. And they both go down, man. You know what I'm saying? Like the rich guy and the princess? Forget about it, that's a movie.
Okay, well, I have to say, give me round 23, 1997, Bombers versus Crows.
Fuck off! Fuck off! Kind of man.
First.
What a bastard. All right, so there you are. Unlawful Killing.
Nice. My number 8 then is a film which I wonder might make your list. We actually got the film in the end, but a very, very different version some 10 years later. I want to see George Miller's My Man Crush, as you call him, version of Justice League.
Oh, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? That's on my list.
It is on your list. Okay,
of course
yeah.
It's on my list.
This was the original effort to helm that Justice League film, from which had apparently a very faithful script based on sort of the comics. And starred, I'm not sure about the cast, if I'm brutally honest. Armie Hammer's Batman.
If he dyed his hair and something, he probably could have swung it.
Megan Gale's Wonder Woman.
Sure.
Adam Brody as The Flash.
Well, if you think about Barry Allen, I could see them just going, that guy, and people know him.
Common? That's Green Lantern?
I don't know what the fuck. Oh, there is an African-American Green Lantern.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either, but...
I can't remember the...
I think the cartoon character has hair, so I'm thinking...
What's Ryan Reynolds? I can't remember his name in Green Lantern.
Oh, he's Hal Jordan.
Oh, okay. So I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And DJ Katrona as Superman.
Who's that?
Exactly.
Okay.
So
Superman!
I'm a little bit sort of like the cast. But the budget was going to be massive. They had Weta Workshop already involved to do all the production.
And seen stills.
And the tax breaks were pretty significant, and that's part of what derailed it. Like, everyone knows the writer's strike happened in 2008. That was a big part of it.
Totally.
But the other part was somewhere along the line, the deals worked out with the Australian government about tax breaks never came to pass.
Yeah.
And so it all fell in a big hole.
See, haven't George... Because, okay, so Paul obviously loves Mad Max, everything.
Yep.
Or Fury Road, at least.
In particular.
And, yep. So this guy's take on a Justice League... I'm very intrigued about that. Obviously, it's higher on my list. So why, like, what's an Aussie that, he's like, he would have been 70-ish? Back 60-something?
He would have been early 60s.
Early 60s. The first thing about George Miller is that he's so good for so long, all right? So he didn't De Palma, and he's 70-something,
that's true.
Right?
That's absolutely true.
So this is like, it's almost like, oh, this guy's almost live forever.
My voice broke there when I was so agreeing with you so hard.
So yeah, I would love to have seen this one, man. Absolutely.
All right, well, that's my eight. Wait, yours.
All right, the one's a weird one, this number eight, okay? Oh. Everyone, I'm not so much a gamer, but I have played this one particular game, which aesthetically is the prettiest thing I've ever seen. Game-wise. It's called Bioshock Infinite is the game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right?
Yep.
Now, there was going to be a movie called Bioshock, which is about this. But what I want to tell you about is the styling, okay? The Bioshock Infinite game is a city that's in the sky. It's clouds and shit like that, okay? The first one was underground.
Infinite, not Bioshock.
Yeah.
First one was underwater.
First one was underwater. Yeah. And it's also beautiful because the actual styling I would actually describe as sort of steampunk... fantastical realism, kind of. It's not quite
photorealistic.
Right. Yeah. Yep. But it's so 1920s, or I don't know, even 1820s, I'm not sure. But the style is really, really cool, and it's really I remember looking at the game and playing it going, I've never seen a more well put together, more beautifully styled game. So this movie would have had that game's like kind of aesthetic, and I would love to have seen it. But turns out that Gore Verbinski were attached to the film, was attached to the film, and apparently his way of going said it just wouldn't be a low-cost production. It would just be realizing the game's world on screen would take like a significant time and money. And Verbinski was the guy who actually pushed for, nope, won't cut, won't cut, won't cut, won't cut. Would have been like this ridiculous like nine-figure or whatever like movie, right? And the studio just went, nah, can't do it. Yep. And it just literally...
Too big a risk.
It's as simple as, it can't be done. There was no particular reason other than bullshit.
Because there have been so many good video game adaptations over the years. The studio, of course, was going to throw nine figures.
That's the thing. It's got a curse, that kind of thing. So, who knows? Have you seen the Sonic the Hedgehog thing?
No.
Yeah,
I have zero interest.
No, but they released a character like...
Yeah, they did a trailer and there was a backlash. Now they're saying they were going to go back and redo it. No, they're not. That's all fucking marketing.
Really?
There's no way in hell they're dumb enough to put out... Like, it's either already done or it's all been budgeted for. This is part of
it. Wait, are you saying that they released a bad Sonic to create public interest?
Yeah.
My God, if they did, they would be the smartest people
in
the world.
There's no way. There's no way in the world they can turn around after one trailer comes out and invest all the money that would come to have to re-render everything that's already been done.
Well, according to this guy's putting it all on the line to redo it before it comes out.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit, you reckon?
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge conspiracy, and I want it to be a conspiracy. I want to know more about
absolute bullshit.
There's a movie about that we should see that'll never make happen.
That's true.
All right, you're number seven.
My seven is a H.P. Lovecraft film, which has been rumored for a long time, and Guillermo del Toro has been attached and tried desperately to make this happen.
Oh, yes.
It is At the Mountains of Madness.
Now, I've read briefly about this, but I don't quite know what's going on. What is it?
This is a wet dream of a film for a fan of The Thing. Although, of course, H.P. Lovecraft wrote this novella, many, many moons before even the first iteration of The Thing came out. The Thing owes a lot of debt to this.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, it's okay.
Basically a story of a guy or two guys, I can't remember, sort of telling an account of they were in the Antarctica
and they
come across mountains of ice bigger than Mount Everest.
Wow.
For whatever reason, go up into them and find remnants of this ancient city which has fallen into ruin, and their presence there awakens the elder things.
Ooh. So it's a horror?
It's absolutely horror. It's bleak as fuck horror. And the creatures that they created or / conjured to build their cities, and these creatures and the elder things, and then some other even greater evil which sends anyone mad who even sees it. They're battling all these things.
I mean, I don't like this stuff, but that actually sounds like it'd make a tasty movie.
Yeah, so here's what Del Toro said in 2006. The studio is very nervous about the cost and is not having a love story or a happy ending because it doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible to do either without... You can't have a happy ending or a love story in a Lovecraft universe, he said. So the studio wouldn't back it.
Really? Oh, yeah. There's no dudes getting down in the thing.
As recently as last year, the script was confirmed to be 100% complete.
Really?
And although Del Toro has kind of said it's never going to happen, the big fans of his and indeed of Lovecraft's work are still pushing for it. So it's not never going to happen, but it's probably not going to happen at the...
Unlikely.
...the huge budget range, which Del Toro demands it would need to make this. So he can't make this for $20 million like he did Shape of Water. This is a... Maybe not a $100 million film, but I would imagine it's much closer to that than 20.
Let me ask you this. As a purveyor of fine horror films, mm-hmm. What are your views on Guillermo as a creator?
Oh, I think he's got a fantastic imagination.
Okay.
I would like to see him let off the leash.
Really?
Yeah, like Pan's Labyrinth was pretty much a hard R, and that's my favorite of his films by a long way.
It was a hard R, was it?
Yeah. I mean, it's some pretty dark shit.
It's dark as hell.
That movie. And Blade 2 I like a lot, but I haven't watched it in a long time, so I'm almost afraid to return to it.
Oh, did you do Blade 2?
See whether it stands up.
I like that show.
And there's a strong argument.
It probably won't stand up, but I like that
That's
show.
A better film than the first one, so... I'm saying that like, obviously no one gives a shit about Blade Trinity, but those two. So, and, you know, Kronos, and he's done some amazing
things. I think Shape of Water was like the best thing he's ever done. Crimson and the best thing a lot of people have ever done.
Crimson Peak was garbage.
Yeah, that was a piece of shit. Yeah. So he just missteps every now and then, what you're saying.
Well, I guess most filmmakers do.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay.
So I'd love to know what he's doing next. I'm not actually sure what it is. And a lot of people, by the way, it's not on my list. Maybe it's on yours, so maybe I'm stealing some thunder here. No. Hellboy 3.
No, it's not on my list.
Yeah, okay. A lot of the feedback we got, and we got quite a bit of feedback, was for Hellboy 3, his version, rather than the Hellboy we got this year.
Oh, yeah, because it was such a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. No, I get that. Okay, fair enough. My number 7, everyone. Now, when Batman and Robin came out with George Clooney in it, I was not a fan. I love the Val Kilmer Batman Forever. And they had planned to do one after.
Sorry, everyone.
I did. I don't care. Okay, I saw it again and knew it didn't hold up. But I remember how happy I was at the time. After Batman and Robin, they were going to do a movie called Batman Unchained, also known as Batman Triumphant. There's a colon in there. It would have been the same George Clooney, but they would have made the Scarecrow the bad guy.
You really want to see another film in this universe after Batman and Robin?
At the time, I would have, because Batman and Robin screwed up, and I was like, guys, just do another one, but like, don't do that, all right? And then hopefully he would have learned and actually made this one okay. It turns out he actually didn't do it, because then he went and said, because obviously it fucked him with Batman and Robin, and was like, fuck you. He goes and does some dark shit, like 8mm, and like, you know, all this other crap. He's going to do a Ben Elton.
23.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. How was that? Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Telstra?
Didn't go places I liked, but I did like the idea.
Okay, fair enough. Jim Carrey, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, they had a whole script here. 150-page outline, all that sort of shit happened.
Outline of 150 pages?
I know. Can you imagine what the movie would have been? So, you know, I don't know.
Too fucking long.
Exactly.
And
it was,
shit.
It was going to be Harley Quinn and Scarecrow, and they would have teamed up in the third act, and then the Scarecrow would have his fear toxins. That's what was the whole thing was about.
Happy we got Batman Begins instead.
Yeah, I think so. They're supposed to have a theme running through it of Batman becoming a new Batman and facing his fears, that kind of thing. That's what they were doing with that movie. So,
okay.
Yeah, look, it probably would have sucked, but I still wanted to see it.
All right.
Come on, bro.
All right. All right, well, my number 6 is as out there as anything on my list.
And oh, really?
It's probably the second least closest to ever to getting made on this list. It's from Ridley Scott working with Swiss artist who he worked with on Alien, H.R. Giger.
Oh, yes.
And it's a film called The Train. And it was written by Jim Ulls, the guy who ended up writing the Fight Club adaptation.
Oh, okay.
From Chuck Palahniuk. And it was a sci-fi horror film that was basically a blend of Alien and Blade Runner, and it was set in a future Los Angeles where a genetically altered creature runs amok on a crowded subway train.
Yeah, that's your jam.
That is so me.
Mm-hmm.
It never quite got in motion. This was back in the like early 90s this was being touted, so it would have been like pre a lot of the effects that we have now and much more of the era, but in the end, it never quite got off the ground, and Ridley Scott decided to go and do Thelma and Louise instead. Which is about as far away from that as you can humanly imagine.
Yeah, it's cool to have the option.
But apparently, if you look pretty hard, you can still see a lot of Giger's artwork and ideas for the film, some of which ended up in the nightmare sequence of 1995's Species.
Oh, good, because it's... I remember. I remember the buzz about that, because that thing turned out to be from Giger, and everyone's like, ooh, it's like Alien.
Yep.
And by the way, it was a great movie. I love Species.
For its time.
Yeah, totally.
For its time.
Except for Michael Madsen. So, yeah,
sign me the fuck up. Glad you mentioned him. He won't be the last time it's mentioned today.
Oh, no. We'll talk. But that's, yeah. Have you ever seen Geiger's art, a book of his art?
Yes.
It is all just like organic looking huge cocks going into holes that are also it's really like damn this guy
I know
is
I'm
old.
Laughing everyone knows this
but it's
he's
so
sexualized
cock everything okay man all right
it's kind of like the artistic equivalent of this podcast
true that okay well you know what my number six is just Justice League from George Miller okay. So that's where I put that we're
already
back to you
volley
son.
Volley back to you because my number five is Gladiator 2 Christ Killer
very muff. Okay. My number five is Total Recall 2.
Yeah. You know why I didn't put this on my list?
Because it did end up being a movie?
Well, no. It was a remake.
Well,
because we got the remake, which sullied my version of what... You know what I mean? I'd like,
oh, the remake!
Yeah, with Colin Farrell.
No, but that was... Yeah, no. This was going to be an Arnie Total Recall 2.
Yes.
Okay, so plans...
I did read about it.
Yep. Sure. So throughout the 1990s, there was like a plan to make this movie. And according to, you know... Everyone on the inside, the script was, it was the producer saying this, but saying, Arnold, this is the best script you've ever been presented, to you. So, I don't know. Arnie apparently did not agree and chose to do a thematically similar film called The Sixth Day.
Oh, Sixth Day, not yeah. End of Days.
Okay. Oh, but it's all, at that stage it all ran into each other, so yeah. It could be anything.
Is it fair to say Arnie made a lot of bad choices after True Lies?
Including becoming governor? When did the star fall? No, to him, that's a huge win, man.
Yeah, it would be.
He would be president if he could, right? But it was finally abandoned after basically 12 years. Now people have just said, we're not doing it because there's no Arnie, and what are you going to do? Obviously, that's probably what gave rise to that Colin Farrell situation.
Yeah.
But I get this. The person who was tagged to direct it was number one from Star Trek The Next Generation, Jonathan Frakes. Yeah.
Really?
Apparently he's got, I don't know, but it was this high wire act where
he directed a couple of those films.
Did he?
Yeah, I can't
remember. Oh, yeah, the Star Wars.
I think
Wars
he might have directed First Contact, which is
if
the best received of them all.
Yeah, look, this happens all the time.
The next gen ones, I mean.
What's his name? How did the Swingers guy manage to get Iron Man?
John Favreau,
right? Because he hadn't done anything like that before, so sometimes it kills, man. And I guess in this case, I'm hoping it would have. But yeah, Total Recall 2, apparently... would have been this whole thing where they play off what's real, what's not real. There'd be a flashback of Mars and then something to make you think he's back in the recall thing. So that would have been huge fodder for you and me to crap on each other for another 10
years.
But
I wonder about that. Like, okay, like to basically suggest that this is definitely taking place in his head now. It's just a psychological thriller rather than a sci-fi action film. I'm not sure.
Well, apparently they wanted to play it so it was just this mindfuck theme.
Right.
So they give you something, but then they give you something else to contribute, like that's why...
To counter it.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're like, so I think the ambiguity was alive as long as possible. But he said that a lot of studios didn't get that. They were just like, is it, what is it?
And we would have got it.
Yeah, we would have got it. we'd have thought about it at the very
least. Our studio would have fucking greenlit it, Jonathan Frakes. But I don't think Arnie was that dead keen on it.
No, he's the one who actually shut it down, and that's why it didn't happen. So Sixth Day happened.
Whew, and that's one that we all talk about in such glowing terms.
Oh, yeah, who even knows what that is?
Today. All right, well, my number four... is quite possibly would have been the greatest film ever made, bar none. Why is it down as low as number four then? Well, largely because it never even got close to being made. It was just a wet dream for fanboys and girls like me. I'm talking about Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Oh, God. Wow, I would have ignored the shit out of this one.
Two horror icons battling out to kill as many people as possible. With the world weary Ash coming in, having to stop them, it was so damn good they made a comic book series out of it.
Oh, did they?
In fact, that's where the film got its idea from, a 6-issue comic book series in 2007. And straight away the fans were like, whoa, let's make this into the movie. We need a Freddy vs. Jason sequel anyway. Come on.
Did you read it?
I didn't read it, actually.
Oh, wow.
No.
Oh, no, it's
but I would. I would happily read it now. And then there was a sequel to the comic book series as well. But Bruce Campbell himself was never really down for the concept.
You know why? Because he's Ash. From fucking Evil Dead. So he's the star of that movie. Now you got to put him up against like Freddy and Jason. Forget about it.
Well, let's see how close you are to being right. And you are very close.
Oh, yeah.
In a Reddit AMA, he basically said in answer to, well, what happened to Ash versus Freddy versus Jason or Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, whichever way you want to call it. He said, because he couldn't control any character other than Ash.
Yeah.
So you got three different franchises and they all have their rules, which have
absolutely.
To apply.
Absolutely.
Basically. And then he said, that felt like a creatively bankrupt way to go.
Mm.
Not to mention, you're splitting the proceeds three ways with partners you might not want. So it's pretty close to what you're saying.
Ah, see?
So,
okay.
Good call. Good call.
Actors, you know how it is. All right. That's
not just actors, but whoever owns the property rights. And I'm assuming Bruce Campbell has a big ride
actually,
on
Ash. Writing that script. If someone said, just come up with a script, and everyone weighs in, no, there's not enough Freddy. No, there's not enough Jason. Not enough Ash. It would
whereas
never
in a
work.
Comic book series, it's just fine. Obviously, they pay for whatever likeness it is. Here's the rights. Bang, off you go.
Yeah. Okay, good one. My number four is, I dare say, on your list because we just referenced it. It is the Tarantino potential film.
What?
The Vega Brothers.
I'm amazed that anything with Michael Madsen got the green light, because you know why Michael Madsen should be on this list?
Oh, for God's sake. If you had a song called The Fattest Around, that would probably work. The Fattest and Mumbliest Around? Sure. Absolutely.
By the way, it's my number three.
Okay. Well, look, Quentin Tarantino, apparently, according to the research I've done here, okay, so Michael Madsen, by the way, everyone, sorry, the Vega brothers are obviously Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction and Michael Madsen, Mr.
Vic Vega.
Vic Vega from Reservoir Dogs.
Mr. Blonde.
And this movie apparently was going to be about their, because they're both dead in those shows, so it's going to be a prequel of them in Amsterdam. During the time when they were there, Vincent was running a club for Marcellus Wallace, and Vic shows up to visit him, and the movie would have been their weekend in Amsterdam. So exactly what happened and whatever in terms of what didn't happen.
We never got any further than that.
No.
It never got written.
Tarantino's totally like talked to Michael Madsen about it, and he's moved on now.
Right. All of which I read as well, and you're
sure,
right. And that was as recently as 2 weeks ago with the release of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that Tarantino talked a little bit about the details of the script.
Cool.
Or the idea that he had in mind and all that stuff that you just said, 100%. However, a couple of years ago, here's what Michael Madsen had to say about it.
Go on.
He said, so Michael Madsen talking about a conversation he had with Quentin Tarantino. He said, it's a prequel. And I said, you know, John and I don't really look that young anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to work.
Yep.
So he said, okay, I've got a better idea. So now he told me the scenario of the Vega brothers, but it was so complicated, I can't explain it.
Okay, so one, we now know Michael Madsen's more. Two, that means there was a second approach.
I would suggest this is just Michael Madsen.
Come on, let's hear about it.
Desperate attempt to remain relevant.
That's it, because, you know, it's like Wyatt Earp and then nothing. So... Which he gave up Pulp Fiction to see.
The 90s were Madsen's heyday, and I was a big fan, particularly because of Reservoir Dogs. I know you've never liked him.
I've never liked him. No. But
he has dropped into obscurity.
You know what he was? He was like that. He was the Robert Mitchum of that day. He had the potential to be that guy. And I understand, because my ex really fucking dug him, right? So I understand I'm alone here. But.
You going to bark all day?
See that
a little
shit,
doggy?
Are you going to bite? So, I understand. But yeah, it would have been kind of, I don't know. We want to see it.
There used to be a website called Development Hell or something like that when the internet first opened, and it had all these ideas in there. I vividly remember it. In fact, my number two is straight off that list as well.
You know what? You should write this script.
Yeah, there's no point. What's the point?
Just write it just write and send it. Or maybe we'll make it a comic or something.
Because I'm sure QT would love when however many hundreds per day he gets.
Exactly.
Of people
Everyone has done this
the
already.
Vega Brothers.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe don't.
But that's a great choice. Obviously, I 100% agree. It's my number three.
Nice one.
Straight back to you for your number three.
My number three, people, is a movie that Paul and I once got some wood about back in the day, 1994, I imagine.
Oh, shit. Is this my number two as well?
It probably is, because we loved Arnie.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Keep going.
All right, we talked about
who's
this.
Who's the filmmaker?
Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah.
I actually knew this would happen because we have the same childhood. So,
and we also have, as much as it might not seem like it, we have a core base at the same
place.
There
is, yeah, there is.
And then you go one way and the other with the other stuff.
Exactly. We all grew up in different directions. But this is a movie called Crusade.
Yeah, that's it. 100%.
By Paul Verhoeven. Now, I remember talking to Paul about this, okay? We love medieval type shit. And the rumor was we were finally going to get a medieval film starring Arnie and directed by Paul Verhoeven, who
directed RoboCop, Basic Instinct,
Movie or Puberty,
Total Recall.
He was hot. I mean, he was hot as
this
shit.
I said 94. So Arnie is coming off the last of his great films, True Lies.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So this is everyone in red hot form. And then, did you find the script, the cast of this? I should say.
And
the script is available, by the way. You can find this online if you really want to look hard enough.
Yeah.
Robert Duvall.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Connelly, the aforementioned. John Turturro. Christopher McDonald, a.k.a. Shooter McGavin from Happy
I had to look Gilmore. Up who he was, and they went, oh yeah, him. He was the villain, right?
So he was going to be the villain. I think that's great. Now, and the studio balked because Verhoeven basically went up there and just said, here's what it's going to cost, and I'm not going to cut corners. Here's what it's going to cost. And the studio just went, hey, historical epic films haven't been doing that well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. So it's Kuralko, right?
Yeah, Kuralko yes, absolutely. Still the Basic Instinct movie company as well.
So Kuralko went, nah, we're going to pass, and went and sunk all its money into
Cutthroat Island with Gina Davis, I believe. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Is it shit?
Yeah. Garbage.
It tanked like a
mother. Well, it didn't just tank. It took the studio down with it.
Yeah, it went. The Carolco went bankrupt, didn't it? And the other
Carolco went bankrupt. Gina Davis never. Well, okay, I'll take it back. It took a few years, but eventually she was in A Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh,
but she was sent to basically Hollywood hell after this film.
Yeah, movie jail.
Rennie Harlan was the only one who sort of escaped because it wasn't that many years later that he
wasn't she his Deep wife Blues. At the time?
Yeah, they were married at the time.
So the bonehead play, man. You put your girl in the movie, and then it turns to shit, and then it bankrupts the company.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're.
But this was the torpedo in Gina Davis's career, and Rennie Harlan. He had a little bit of resurgence with Deep Blue Sea, but otherwise, largely has been stuck.
Yeah, because Cliffhanger was before that.
Yeah,
it was. Holy shit! Yeah, obviously now you know Verhoeven and Schwarzenegger are probably both too old to make this movie a reality. I don't know, man. I mean,
apparently
I think
it was pretty
full
on. Apparently, very anti.
Christian, yes, totally.
And so now they're just saying, nah.
You know, you're poking
at it. But it sounds awesome. Immensely violent, historical, blockbuster epic with a nice line and shit-stirring controversies, to quote a website.
Ah, very nice.
Including the faking of a miracle, the revelation of the corruption of...
The faking of a miracle? I love that.
Of the First Crusade and the papacy of the time, as well as pointed commentary on anti-prejudice and anti-Semitism. So it had layers.
Yeah.
As well as it would just been hack and slash and Arnie wading through hordes of Arabs with a sword.
See, but now it's hard with the whole anti-Arab thing. You know what I mean?
Like exactly.
You just can't have it.
You know, in this day and age, no.
So, okay, fair enough.
Even back then, we had to have Robin Hood going to the Crusades and coming back with Morgan Freeman as his sidekick to keep it all, you know, nice.
I didn't even think about that. You know, I enjoyed Prince of Thieves. I don't care what people think.
It was a guilty pleasure of the time, but again, it's not a film I've watched since. Although we may get a little bit of talk about it later on in the listener feedback.
Okay.
Well, that's my two, so we're back to you for your...
Okay, my number two. You definitely won't have this one. It is Tim Burton's Superman Lives.
I didn't put on here purely because I knew you would talk about it, and I wanted minimal crossovers.
Totally. This is maybe the most famous aborted superhero reboot.
And the closest to being made.
Oh, dude. Way back in 1996, when they started looking at this, there's actually a... they got Kevin Smith to write the initial draft, and they were doing all of this stuff to basically make the next Superman movies. Kevin Smith talks about it on his Evening with Kevin Smith shows. It's definitely worth a listen if you haven't heard it. They hired Tim Burton as a director on Smith's suggestion, and then Burton, who was having this problem with, like, he came off the failure of Mars Attacks, because apparently that did not go very well. There's a documentary on this called The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, also worth looking at. It went all the way to production. There's footage of Nicolas Cage suiting up in the proposed costume.
Yeah.
He's got long hair because that's what the comic did at the time. And it's a very, like, the outfit is almost off the shoulder. There's a lot of his collarbone showing. And yeah, scripted, everything went together. Sexy. It was. And they shot so much and it just got, what happened? It just turned to shit. Like, it just didn't get done. I believe it was...
I didn't include him on this, so I didn't do the research.
Yeah, well, it's...
it was over to you, sir.
I think there was
handball back.
No.
Oh, tackled.
I do know. It's Dan Gilroy. He was like, he did a bunch of drafts of it, and Burton kept not liking the scripts that were going back and forth. And then basically, just when it was about to slate, you know, to hit theaters in time for the 60th anniversary, got shelved.
Not hit theaters. They hadn't started full on production.
No. Yeah, sorry, but it started production, I guess. But yeah, for them to go all the way to actually hire the costume builders and this and that, really, really cool. Definitely check out the movie.
Well, obviously, everyone involved. Particularly like the Nicolas Cages at the time, who's, you know, since lost it in the 13th.
No, but
alimony.
At that time it would have been huge.
Yeah, he would have got paid, I'm sure.
Totally.
A clause and holding him place.
He's even mentioned it recently, saying that, look, we're still, I wanted to kick that thing right in its head. Like, it was going to be turned on its shoulder. Like, there were all sorts of shit was going to change about this movie that you would normally have done about Superman. So, you know, it probably wouldn't have worked, man. It probably wouldn't have worked, but I still wanted to see
it. Of course. And heaps of listeners. I would say on listener feedback, and I'm preempting now as we get close to it, that is by far the most mentioned in all the feedback we had. You know, 60, 70 responses, it was mentioned at least 10 times.
Nice. Okay.
All right, well, let's do the recap then. I'm going to kick it off with my number 10, Stranglehold, the sequel to Hardboiled. 9, True Lies. 2, 8, the 2007 iteration of George Miller, Justice League. Number 6, At the Mountains of Madness, Guillermo del Toro's adaptation thereof. Number 6, The Train. 5, Gladiator 2. 4, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. Who cares?
Yeah.
3, The Vega Brothers. 2, Crusade. And my number 1.
Yes.
With a bullet. Automatically, instantaneously, when we came up with this concept, straight away leapt to my mind. I'm at half mast even thinking about it now. It's Alien 5, Neil Blomkamp's version thereof, that only 4 years ago came to light. And it was almost like after the darkness that has been everything since probably Aliens for most people, but for me, Alien 3.
Alien 3, yeah.
Even Alien Resurrection, I have time for.
I don't mind Alien Resurrection. Okay. I don't mind it.
The AVPs are all garbage. Prometheus is garbage. Covenant hasn't come out yet. And Blomkamp basically put out a couple of artists' sort of designs for Ripley and Hicks now. And the idea was this would be a direct follow-up to Aliens. It would skip and retcon 3 and 4.
Oh, man. How cool would that have been?
And it would be Ripley, Hicks, Newt. And I don't know about Bishop, but basically those three characters now once again fighting the aliens in some, the xenomorphs in some particular way. And every Aliens fan just rose up as one and punched the sky and voiced on social media their excitement. And 20th Century Fox said, it's happening. We're doing this.
So it was greenlit.
Right?
What happened?
And off Blomkamp went to work on this. Then I'll tell you what happened. Ridley fucking Scott.
What'd he do?
He was going to be a producer on the film, which I think is some contractual obligation that he has.
Because he did the first one?
He did the first one and has been heavily involved since. I don't know about the second one. Anyway,
he's got to deal with the studio.
He has to have a big say. He basically went, no, because Covenant's coming out in 2017. Originally, it was like, yeah, it will be two separate things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then the rumor goes, he basically swung his dick in there, knocked everything over and just said, no, Covenant's what matters. We're shelving this shit.
He's a producer. What are you going to say?
And everybody had to fall into line at 20th Century Fox.
And then Covenant ended up being a big piece of shit.
Which I didn't hate as much as most, but I have never watched it again. I have no desire to.
Prometheus was so shit.
Prometheus, I hate.
Right? It's one of the worst movies I've seen, for real. Other than the fact that it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only thing it gets. But yeah, this one, shit.
So fuck you very much, Ridley Scott. And the one bit of hope that I have is now that 20th Century Fox has passed hands to Disney, that they might employ some sense in this.
Dude, this
discussion
can happen. This could happen now.
Rebring this back to life.
Have you? Is there a script out there?
I don't think. I think it had treatment. I think it got to that point, but it hadn't got to a fully fledged script.
Okay, so you should write that script.
Sure, I will do that. Blomkamp, if you're listening, just get in touch, mate.
Paul's in.
Nail that shit.
Seriously, Paul will crap. I mean, everyone will die in it. You know.
No.
Yeah.
I guarantee you right now, no one's dying in the first fucking 5 minutes. Who you love?
First 5 minutes, you're gonna give us.
Well,
fantastic.
Alien
Paul.
3, man. It will be an improvement on Alien 3 on that basis alone.
Yeah. Look, this is totally your number one. Absolutely. I'm on board. In fact, I think I had this and I went, nah, that's going to go to Paul.
Yeah, much like Superman Lives.
There you are. All right, man. Well, folks, my number 10, this is my countdown, is Gladiator 2. Number 9, Unlawful Killing. Number 8, Bioshock. 7, Batman Unchained. I meant it. Number 6, George Miller's Justice League. Number 5, Total Recall 2. Number 4, Tarantino's Vega Brothers. Number 3, Paul Verhoeven's Crusade. Number 2, Tim Burton's Superman Lives. And my number 1 is a movie I've always been interested in. It actually turned into a Robin Hood movie, but it was almost this other Robin Hood movie.
Glad you mentioned it.
Dude, this one sounds so cool. Because it's called Nottingham, all right? Now, this was it was written by these two writers who had done this show called Sleeper Cell back in the day.
Yeah. Sleeper Cell was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael Ealy, I think.
Ethan Reffin. But anyway, those guys sent their spec script to Hollywood, and apparently this was a sweet turnabout on Robin Hood. Robin Hood was the villain in this movie, and the hero was the Sheriff of Nottingham. And even cooler than that, the Sheriff was this soldier who returned from the Crusades. He's like this noble dude who only became Sheriff after he returned. And then he basically went around Nottingham solving the crimes that Robin Hood committed.
Yeah, wasn't he chasing a serial killer, basically?
Basically. Yeah. And it was basically they referred to it as CSI Sherwood Forest. Because apparently he would
have... lost me there.
Dude, that is the best part about this. Can you imagine some cracker you like, who's the Sheriff of Nottingham, goes around in medieval times and goes, I can perform an experiment to actually make us follow this dude.
But they don't have sunglasses in medieval times. How is he supposed to put the button on any scene?
Right. It'd be like, looks like we've got a murdering archer. Yeah! Yeah, no. No, not CSI Miami Sherwood Forest. It was CSI Sherwood Forest. Now, personally, I think that the idea of a detective back then who was this dude off the chain, okay? Hollywood thought so too, because there was a bidding war of this script. At the time, it only sold for $1 million. I know.
I will make a script for $1 million.
$1 million would be fine, exactly,
no,
right?
No problem. I'll accept that.
Well, dude, they had attached Ron Howard's people to this and all sorts of shit. There was a bidding war, or it would be. 18 months later, it started, they sold the script.
and shit went down. What went down? Ridley Scott went down.
Oh, fuck. There's a commonality to our number ones.
So Ridley Scott goes, dude, what is all this like detective shit? Fuck that. Everyone wants to see Robin Hood busting arrows in people's asses. Changes it completely. Rusty is still attached, of course, and they went ahead and made the Robin Hood movie that we got. Now, I saw that movie, and I can't remember. I can't remember anything about it.
I got a lot of anger directed to Ridley Scott right this moment.
A lot of people are pissed about this. I, in particular, obviously...
Take over Will Smith.
More than
what the hell?
Would you cut this shit out, you motherfucker?
No!
I'm agreeing
with you.
Sorry,
everyone. That sounded like my ass. Agree without Will Smith.
Your ass has a lot of no, no, no.
Trust me. But anyway, once again, Ridley Scott destroys something that could have been real cool by being a hole. But apparently Russell Crowe was also on board, and that's why he continued to star in Ridley Scott's one.
I wonder if we should do a series of countdowns.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work comparing against. Maybe it's a special like patron-only series, like the top 10 shit Ridley Scott stories. The top 10 shit Russell Crowe stories.
Shitley Scott.
Shitley Scott. Russell shit.
Yeah, okay. How about a countdown where it's like these assholes, the Hollywood's biggest assholes.
Hollywood's biggest assholes. That's good.
Oh, that's great. Okay, let's think about that one.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to rename it because we won't get through iTunes with assholes.
And don't tag any of the people on our list.
Shit. Nice. All right, well, there's some on the fly.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good choice. And as I said, the listeners got behind that one a lot. Look, let's not do any honorable mentions today.
No.
I think we have
too many. We talked about so weird shit today.
A lot of different films which could have been made, which would have got us very excited and that never came to pass. What a shame. I think that's the summary statement.
Yeah,
what a shame that all of these, in particular, some of them, never saw lack of light of the interior of the cinema. All right, that's our list. What about yours? We wrap up every show with the listener feedback in a segment, appropriately enough, that really not related at all, called the Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with John Holslander, who had Jorge Dawoski's June, which was a hugely recommended one by a number of different listeners.
Yeah, I've heard of this one.
Such a good book. So Frank Herbert's June. The project sounded insane, whether it's the proposed casting of Salvador Dali, Mick Jagger, and David Carradine.
Salvador Dali?
Yeah, or the Pink Floyd soundtrack. But then he pegged H.R. Giger for creature design. How about the attempted remake of the cheesy Doc Savage Man of Bronze with the Governator in
I'm familiar with that one.
Role?
Totally.
A couple of interesting ones there. From a new member to the Facebook listening community, Eric C. Edstrom Jr., Del Toro's Hellboy 3. Highlander remake, which I think is still floating around, is potentially going to be redone.
I think I've heard about that one.
Probably with a rock in it, no doubt. And the sequel to Rock and Roller, Guy Ritchie's.
I didn't hear about that one, and I wish I had. That sounds awesome.
I also had not heard of that one. Gerald Morris from 2P's on a podcast. Nicolas Cage as Superman. I mean, come on.
So yes, man. Forget about it.
Number one there. James Spence had, I think the big one is Kubrick's Napoleon. Which was another one of those director refused to bow on the cost that it would be. And
I imagine it would be no fun to work with Kubrick.
Yeah, not if you're an actor. No, I'm not sure it would be a lot of fun at all. From Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast. Great show. John Carter 2. A story that deserved a franchise killed by bad marketing.
Now, I'm intrigued about this. Mm. Have you seen John Carter from Mars?
I have.
Any good?
No.
Really?
Yeah. It's not as god-awful as a lot of the critics were saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like claw your eyes out bad, but it's real let down.
Did you hear that they changed the title to just John Carter because movies with the word Mars in it had historically not done well?
Mission to Mars.
Mission to Mars and all this other shit and Mars Needs Moms and all of them shit.
Oh, interesting.
There you are.
Okay. Mallrats 2 was Billy's second choice. Kevin Smith's been trying to make this in Clerks 3 for years and it's such a shame he isn't allowed to. It's okay, Billy, you're getting Jane Silent Bob Strike Reboot or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's coming back.
And number one, The Stand, one of Stephen King's best books that has been in development hell for years. A few years ago, the rumor was Affleck was attached to direct, and then nothing happened. Such a shame. Thank you for that, Billy. From our good friends, our best friends, Podcast Land, Nicholas from the Epic Film Guys.
Nicky.
George Lucas's Star Wars sequels. Would love to have seen how he wanted it to end. The Stand movie, again. I love the miniseries. I was super keen to see a bigger budget version. And of course, because it's Nick Orson Welles' Don Quixote or his original version of Magnificent Ambersons before the studio butchered it. So,
what do you stand on the Luke Skywalker treatment of the last movie? Like, are you on board that he bought the spoilers farm? And, you know, like, do you think that George could have done it better?
I saw the prequels.
I know. That's the first thing you say, right? He would have been out of touch and political this and...
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I'll be honest, I'm not that excited about the last Star Wars film.
Look,
I'll see it and we'll review it.
I'll go in
with an open mind, but I'm very meh about it.
Well, I'll be like fanboy about it, so we can go in the middle.
Cool. From Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast. Great show. Check him out. Number three, Tobey Maguire is Robotech. I'd never heard that one.
I think I've read about that a bit, yeah.
Nicolas Cage is Superman Lives. And number one, Arnold is King Conan. Who wouldn't have wanted another Conan film? I mean, really? Come on.
I would have seen it.
I would, and it was late. It was supposed to be when he was old and had already, you know.
I'll definitely see it. So intriguing.
From the Retro Cinema podcast, I believe this is Angry from that show, the sequel to Dread.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a real shame that one hasn't come to pass. Sam from Movie Reviews and 20Q's podcast, one of our best mates, Del Toro's At the Mountains of Madness, QT's Vega Brothers, and purely out of curiosity of the bizarre, the Tim Burton, Kevin Smith, Nick Cage, Superman Lives.
Totally.
And he added something else there. Also, don't get me started on the Robin Hood movie we could have got that eventually ended up as Russell Crowe version and threw out the most interesting parts of the script.
Straight up, son.
There you go. From Dave from the Super Movie Bros, which need to mention Dave because he and Jay come on next week's show to do a show as a show format. Number one, Neil Blomkamp's Alien movie. Yeah. Number two, Del Toro's In the Mountains of Madness. And guilty pleasure pick. Number three, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. So Dave and I very much on the same lines there. Chris from the Green Korean. Oh, sorry, Chris the Green Korean, but he's also from the Faces and Aces podcast. I'm still waiting for a Macross Saga Robotech trilogy. Also, I'd be curious if George Miller's Justice League movie got made.
You know, I think Pacific Rim is your Robotech. I think that's what's happened to it.
that's a probably pretty good call. From Chris Yeaney, Reap. Now, Chris, Reap got made.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really fall into this category.
And, you know, if you want to call it a release, all right, what happened was when we produced it.
For those who aren't aware, it's a film that Wayne and I produced and made way back in the day.
With a bunch of other friends. Yep. The type of thing you do
20 years ago, literally.
Yes, when you're a 23, 24-year-old idiot, you and your friends go out and you shoot a movie.
Delusions of Grandeur.
Absolutely. It was an action movie. My character's name was Eddie Scheitland.
That's the level of quality you're talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And then we did a big production, like an opening, but it didn't get distributed.
No, it did not.
Fortunately.
It never was.
It is a piece of shit.
From Please Fuck Off About Got. Which is a great name on Twitter. The Batfleck film, Magneto Standalone. I kind of want that female Expendables, Valerian 2, The Raid 3, and Green Lantern before Justice League.
Holy crap, this is a bunch of swings. Nice.
And as Holmes had Stanley Kubrick's Napoleon, Guillermo del Toro's At the Mountains of Madness, Sergio Leone's Leningrad, colon, The 900 Days, and Werner Herzog's The Conquest of Mexico. Some really highbrow ones.
That there is a film connoisseur.
Yes, for sure. A film file, cinephile. From Kiros 73, the Paul Verhoeven and Arnold Schwarzenegger Crusades, and Ridley Squat.
Squats.
Yeah, that's a good name for you, Ridley. Ridley Squats.
Perfect.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, I Am Legend, which must have been before the Will Smith iteration.
I did enjoy me some Will Smith.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, to wrap this week's episode of the Countdown Up Dumb Guzzler podcast, a fourth film, the Indiana Jones franchise, would have been nice. I said, I 100% fucking agree. Yeah,
they did have a prior
thing. But as you may not be aware, or may you be aware, 2 years from now, they are talking about a fourth film in the franchise.
Everyone's in denial.
That is it. Thank you so much for your feedback. How do the listeners get back to us with their feedback on the topics, Wayne, or indeed feedback of a general sense?
Anything at all. Just Google the Countdown podcast, well, movie and TV reviews podcast. And you can also send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can hit us up on Facebook on the listener community that is there. You can also find us on our Australian website, ccradio.com.au, as well as some other great shows that comprise the network. And look, hey, if you haven't done it yet in listening to the show, give us a review on whatever platform you're listening to, Spotify, on Facebook even, but especially on the iTunes.
iTunes helps us a lot.
Hit us up there, give us a review, you know, the higher the rating, the better, but you give us a real review, we will value
totally
it.
Totally, on board.
And that is it for this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is episode 228. What's happening, Wayne, next week? Episode 229.
I actually know. That's right, Minson.
I am amazed.
I know. Next week, we've got some guests.
We do indeed.
Super Movie Bros, Dave and Jay.
Uh-huh.
And get this. We're going to count down the top 10 movie trailers. Yeah, trailers. The thing that gets you into the house. The thing that makes you pick up and date and get people home, come with you and shit. What was rocking back in the day ever?
Yeah, ever. So the best film, best trailers that ever got you sick, regardless of how good the film was.
Yeah, exactly.
What trailers?
In fact, it's really going to go that way.
I'm sure it will be on some, mm-hmm. on some of them. Some films will be great, but a few come to mind already. So Wayne and I will comprise our list together. They'll go up against Dave and Jay's combined list. That's next week's show for you, episode 229.
What?
All right, that's it from us. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And we will catch you next time after you hear from the soundboard.
I really thought I got away with it then.
I'll explain.
Oh, this is a shit one. This is a really shit one. Like all of them, it's a big piece of shit. Look at that, it's still gone. Asshole.
We'll catch you next week. iTunes reviews. We haven't had a fuck. Let's start with a couple of iTunes reviews. Fucking hell.
See, it happens, man.
It does happen.